The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
This is Carol Cleveland from Haunt Me. If you want to put the fun and dysfunctional, listen to The Odyssey Files with Dave and Mike.
Oh!
Kim, what are you doing?
Well, I'm telling Mike and Dave, it's time to get on the show.
Oh, well, The Odyssey Files starts now.
Good evening, Para-X. You are listening to The Odyssey Files. I am Michael O'Neill. With me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Dave Soering. How are you tonight, Dave?
I'm doing phenomenal. I don't know why I'm doing phenomenal, because it's a Monday and work was mediocre at best. But I think, I don't know. I like the show, so I think maybe I'm doing good because we're going to get on and we're going to entertain the heck out of our friends and our listeners.
Not only are we going to entertain them, we are going to educate and spread our knowledge to to them.
Absolutely.
Actually, we're going to spread our opinion to them, and they're going to choose whether they want to listen to it or not.
Right. So it's going to be a little bit of knowledge and a whole bunch of opinion.
Yes.
Yeah, like it should be.
Yeah, more like maybe 95-5.
I was thinking 90-10. I mean, that gives us 5% apiece.
Well. All right, fair enough.
Okay. All right.
for me personally, it's 95-5, and for you, it's 95-5. So
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So.
We're at 190-10.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, okay.
That's the new math. That's new math. Yeah.
It is. Here, on the Odyssey Files, we reach 200%.
We do. On any given normal day.
So anyway, I think we just hop right into it. There's not much. Sorry, I'm looking for this. Not much more chit chat we really need to do. So the show we want to do tonight, the topic anyway, is something that is it's kind of come and gone. It kind of comes in waves over me, mostly as I move forward in my career and the people that I interact with and whatnot. But it is the paranormal culture that at least I see, and Dave will have to either agree or disagree on my take of it, but it's more specifically to kind of where we're going, as opposed to where at least I believe we should be when it pertains to how we approach everything. And Dave, you can interject your opinion here in a second, but personally, I believe that a lot of people are starting to move towards that the paranormal is more for entertainment purposes, as it is more so than a scientific field of study or for helping people, you know, that sort of thing, and advancing this field more so than it is right now.
As a generality, I would agree with that. But I think that there are a handful of people that are constantly kind of diligently working in the background, you know, trying to create new things and trying to take things that are already there and kind of tweak them so they perform better, or, you know, maybe work the bugs out of them, kind of like the Portal comes to mind right off the top of my head. And maybe some of the stuff that we've seen Elizabeth Saint use, you know, as she's tried to build some new things and new ideas that we've seen on shows and stuff like that. So, and then, you know, of course, Bill Chappell, he's always doing, he said he's taking some time off, but he's coming back with some new stuff. And so you've got a, you know, you've got a handful of really quality people that know what they're doing that are building the new things that I think are tweaking. But as a general statement, I would agree with you that the majority of the people involved in the paranormal right now are in it for entertainment.
So I would like to, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was thinking about that while I was getting ready for work before the show. And it seems that we're moving into, when I say entertainment, that also includes that that instant reward that people loved. I don't want to say thrill seek, because that, I think that's something that's on a higher intensity. But I'm talking about people want that instant gratification, and so there. That's why I that's why I think a lot of people use the Ovilus, and a lot of people want to use the Spirit Box because it's instant. You know, you don't have to do a 5-hour investigation, then go listen to 5 hours of audio to get 4 EVPs. You know, you don't have to spend all of that time. You can just flip on the Spirit Box and boom, you have a conversation right there. And do you agree with that at all?
I personally like the Spirit Box, as you know, and we've talked about many times. It takes a trained ear to really understand what and decipher what the chatter is and what might be being said. You know, and even then, it's not always crystal clear to understand it. So, yeah, you know, and the thing that I like about that, and I don't know that I would call, actually, I don't know that I would call it instant gratification. I see that more as it's nice to be able, if there is an entity there who wants to communicate and is open to communication, it's nice to have a piece of equipment that you can find out some information while you're there at that moment in time when their energy is high enough to speak and to communicate with you, where you can, you know, possibly pick up 2 or 3 or 4 things that might be instrumental in kind of figuring out who it is or why they're there.
No, I completely agree with you on that one.
So that's the way I see that, I guess.
I am not against the Spirit Box in general, nor am I opposed to using it, because I own 2 and I use it every investigation. But I'm talking about the people that only use the Spirit Box. You know, their investigations in quotes are 80% Spirit Box, and then they might do like 10-15 minutes where they ask questions into a recorder.
No,
it's those people that I'm referring to. And when you brought up the equipment, almost except for Elizabeth, I think Elizabeth is working on and I haven't been real, like, I don't want to say intuitive, but I haven't been in tune. That's what I'm looking for. I haven't been real in tune with what she's doing lately. But I know that a lot of her stuff was like recorders and motion sensors and stuff like that. And that's what I really like about her and her gadgets. But the people that, like Bill Chappell, they all seem to be working on an upgraded Spirit Box, and they all seem to be working on upgraded Ovuluses. And it's those things that give you that instant that instant, I don't want to say knowledge, but that instant answer. But as you said, and you and I both know, they're very unreliable. I mean, how many times have we listened to the spirit box, even at the end of the night, which is where I think it belongs, and we hear this, this, and this, and we tailor our questions to what we think it says.
Yep.
Then we go back to the audio to hear it, and it says something completely different.
Yeah, and that's the difficult part of trying to listen to something that comes through such a fast scan, especially if it, especially if it comes through. And I know we've heard this many times, and sometimes it's been a legitimate EVP, and sometimes it hasn't, and so that makes it even 100 times more difficult. Would be if an entity comes through and it's speaking really fast in a high pitched voice, you know. And now I notice, like, most of the time we'll kind of dismiss those, but then when we go back and we listen to them, sometimes they're actually legitimate. You have to slow them down, but sometimes they're legitimate statements, you know, and that they're legitimate answers to questions. So, but in real time while you're sitting there, it's very difficult to discern what's being said.
Exactly. So when it comes to, and that's kind of what was leading me to believe it's almost more of an entertainment thing, is that seems to be what a lot of people are working on, is how to build a better upgraded version of things that can give us the instant answers right now. And yeah. it doesn't even have to be correct. I mean, you look at the Paranormal Puck, which is Bill Chappell, and the Ovilus, which is Bill Chappell.
Yep.
And I know Chris Fleming is really, really involved in trying to make a better upgraded spirit box. We have the Portal, which was supposed to make everything clear, and I own that too.
Right.
And I think, and it could be that I just have my settings wrong, but you know as well as I do that, yes, sometimes it is a lot clearer,
yep.
And other times it's just annoying.
It's got a heck of a lot of reverb, I'll tell you that.
Well, and see, that's the thing. I think that's why I have the settings wrong, because one of the dials actually says reverb.
Yeah.
So I could probably just turn that down.
Turn that down a tad, yeah.
Yeah, but I haven't used it, because like almost everywhere we've been, there hasn't like really been an outlet to that right. area.
And there's some limitations, because when you're at some place that's deserted, how are you going to, you know, what are you going to do with a piece of equipment that you have to plug in?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's tough. Yeah.
But when was the last time that you saw an upgraded K2 meter or Mel meter or something that did not have something speaking to you?
The last time, honestly, I saw the upgraded K2 was probably what now 2 years ago. And the only upgrade was that it added noise. Which isn't very much of an upgrade, you know, I mean, but it was kind of nice in the sense that you could put it down and be in another room and then know that something happened, you know. But
or sometimes it's just a flash of light and then you miss it because you're looking somewhere else in
right,
the room.
Right,
so you
exactly.
can hear it. Yeah, right. I know. I completely agree with you on that one. I own it.
I like that, but I don't know that that's an upgrade. I think that's just a slight addition to the piece of equipment. So
right. You know, I go to GhostStop a lot. Just to see, you know, what new stuff that they've put out.
Yep.
And I think in the last six months, maybe even a little bit longer than that, I've seen one new piece of equipment, and it was an upgraded spirit box.
There you go.
And it was pre-order now because, you know, we're going to run out. I mean, everybody wants the spirit box. And again, I agree. It's a very important piece of equipment. But you can't, I don't know, I have such a hard time wanting to make that a big part of any investigation. I put it at the end of an investigation because if you do get things wrong, like if you mishear something,
yep.
It doesn't affect your investigation. You're at the end. Even if you mishear something, you start asking some questions,
right?
You know, based upon what you think you hear, and even if you're wrong, everything before it is still intact. You
right. still it's
did
still
a
legit.
Very good,
yep.
Still did a legit investigation,
Right. So but, I will say this. The one thing that I like to do, and I noticed that we haven't been doing it, and this is like just an observation on us that we really should be doing, is we should be doing more burst sessions. So like we should go in and do, you know, 5 and 10 minute burst sessions and then actually have somebody sit down and listen to that and see if there's an intelligent response on there to anything that we're talking about. You know, I like that because then in that aspect, it is legitimately giving you the right direction to go for your why you're there and what you're looking for.
No, you know? I agree with you on that one. I'm not.
I think that just gets lost. You know, there's so much going on. I think that concept just gets lost.
Well, that's yeah. All. I mean, at least for me, I get so caught up in trying to make sure that we're investigating, that we're not losing time investigating,
yeah,
and that we're doing everything humanly possible in order to investigate what we're there to do. That really actually does get lost upon me, because you know it's the thought of stopping and listening instead of investigating just does not compute.
Yeah,
it should, because I agree with you wholeheartedly. We have static recorders that are still recording. Just because one person is listening to like a 5-10 minute session doesn't mean the rest of us can't investigate.
Correct.
I think I just need people to remind me that we can do that.
Yep.
Because it will not occur to me specific, you know, like to myself.
Right.
Unless I put it into the plan that is what we are going to do. No, you might as well just assume that we're not going to do it. But I'm 100% willing to do that, but that doesn't actually affect our conversation tonight.
No, that was just an observation as we were moving through.
So the other.
So while you're thinking here, where you're thinking on a word thing. So here's what I would like to see. Since we're talking about new pieces of equipment, I think what I would really like to see is I would like to see better technology in video and photographic. You know, yes. I think the ability to capture the image of a spirit is there. It's there. The ability is out there. There's no way it can't be. So if they're working so hard for the audio portion of communicating with the dead and communicating with entities, then I think that there needs to be the same pace, if not a little bit faster pace, because in my personal opinion, I think it's a little behind what the audio portion of it is, that we really need to start getting better technology into handheld cameras and the ability to see in different spectrums, and digital still cameras with the ability to see in different spectrums. And maybe, you know, I don't know. I mean, maybe just the lighting itself, like, you know, how you got to have your auxiliary, you know, full spectrum lights and your infrared lights and stuff like that. Maybe just something a little bit better that would allow us to capture better photographic evidence. I think that's weak right now. That's my opinion, but I think it's weak.
No, I agree with you on that one. And I think the whole reason for that is that, and I don't think there's any paranormal investigator that's going to say anything different, is you get 1,000 times more audio pieces of evidence than you do video and photo.
Yep.
And so they're working to make money, and there's money in audio. And there's very little, I don't want to say there's very, because I mean, if you could do that, if you could make like a digital camera work like an old Polaroid.
Yep.
You know, if you could make a high quality digital recorder act like an old analog tape recorder, like the Ghost Arc does, only the Ghost Arc sucks.
Yep.
If you could do that, you know, it's surprising is that, and I don't know why. Maybe they don't know how, maybe nobody's thought of it, I don't know. But you ever realize that we got so much more compelling evidence back before technology took over?
Yep.
When it was something as simple as a Polaroid camera, and it was something as simple as the old analog tape recorders that you had to push the two buttons down to make it go, you know, record.
Yep.
You know, back before all of this new age digital technology took over, we had way, way better evidence than we do now. And I don't know why we haven't found a way to bridge that gap, especially with the kind of technology we have now, to make the new age stuff work like the old age stuff. Because I would buy that. Well, I'd buy anything, but, you know, I would buy that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say this, too, while we're on this topic, before we kind of, move where direction we're going. I agree with you that a lot of people are looking for the audio and the EVPs and stuff like that. But you could give me, together we have caught some absolutely phenomenal EVPs. I mean, we've got some of the best EVPs that I've ever heard of anybody who has EVPs, to be honest with you. And I'm not patting us on the back. I'm just being honest. Well, I am. And, you know, but you could take a dozen of those great EVPs and I would trade them for one legitimate photo at a location of something walking around the corner and then standing there and staring at us and actually capturing three or four or five pictures in a row of it moving. You know what I mean? Where nobody's going to be able to say it was a shadow from behind you and it cast this, it cast that, or it was just a car driving by the window, because you could catch successive frames of this thing walking and moving throughout the room or moving down the hallway and be able to get those type of photos. That would, to me, I mean, that would be absolutely phenomenal. That would be,
I agree,
insane. You know, I mean, I know every once in a while somebody catches, you know, like one quick image, but to be able to catch a series of, you know, 5 to 7 images of actual movement, you know, intelligent movement, it'd be mind blowing. I mean, you know.
No.
Take that 100%
right to agree.
The Amazing Randy and say, debunk this one, buddy.
Take it to who?
The Amazing Randy. The guy who totally he just attacks the paranormal. He thinks that we're all just idiots and
really?
Yeah. I'm trying to get him on the show so we can have a very spirited discussion.
Oh good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's the guy who actually offered I think it was $1 million, and then I thought it went up for a while, and now I think it's completely taken away. But he actually was offering a cash reward if you could come on his program or to his location and legitimately 100% prove that spirits exist, that he was paying out like $1 million back. And this was years ago when $1 million was actually like a ton of money. It's still a ton of money to me and you, but I mean like a ton of money, like a ton of money to anybody. Like in the 80s, 70s kind of money.
I think that would only work is if you took him to an actual location so he could experience it himself.
No, but that's not it. You had to go to him, to his location. You had to bring the entity to him. So somehow you would have to, and here's another, you know, avenue that I know some people are working on, and I think that this is part of the future too, is some type of containment system, you know? I don't want to use the word trap because that sounds really bad.
But here's my question. Why? Why do we need to do that?
Well, because you can't theoretically move an energy with you unless somehow you could keep their energy at such a heightened level for an extended period of time where you could move them to his location. And then they'd have to want to go and they'd have to want to be seen.
Well, right. No. I get that. But I mean, why are we, and that's, and I understand that that's what Ghost Asylum was trying to do. Every episode, they would make this new trap.
Love it.
And I know you did.
I love the thought process behind it. I thought it was very cool. The thought process was phenomenal to me.
Well, right. The engineering of it was really, really good, as was the construction of it and whatnot.
Right.
You know, but they did it to quote unquote help the spirit escape.
Right.
Obviously it never worked.
No. Nope, but, they tried, though.
But why? Why do we feel we have to trap spirits?
Well, for me, I would say that the only time that I would entertain the idea of trapping a spirit is if it was a negative, some type of negative entity that was harmful to the family, let's say, or people that were there. And I'm not talking about like a business location per se, or certainly not an abandoned place. For you and I, and especially for me, it would be a family with kids. Right. You know, where they're being harmed, kind of like going back to the one that we had a while, you know, years ago, that had a negative entity in the house that we, you know, that went the wrong way. Had I had the ability to trap that entity and take it out and remove it or keep it contained, like in a devil's box, hypothetically, I'm just using that as an example, the concept of that. I like the concept of that. You're eternally looking into the reflection of mirrors and there's no way out. So you're constantly just bouncing off the mirrors, looking at depth, but there's no way to get out. I mean, conceptually, that sounds like a pretty cool idea of how to trap something like that. I don't know if that worked. I don't know. I mean, who knows, right? I mean, we'd have to be able to legitimately prove that somehow. So but, it'd be like opening a Dybbuk box or something, and then you certainly don't want to do that. So,
well, I think that's probably the good way to get the Amazing Randy is just take him a Dybbuk box and tell him to open it up.
Yeah, and then run like hell. We're leaving. Just send the check. Here's my routing number. Here's my deposit slip. All right.
You open this, I'll be in your producer's box.
Yeah.
So,
fully cloaked in highly anointed oil.
But he would probably get his, he would probably get his answer real quick.
I think he probably would.
Maybe not in the way in which he would like.
Yeah, probably not. But if we can get somebody from that organization on, we can ask them what their opinion would be.
I don't mind having a skeptic, but a radio DJ skeptic.
Yeah, full-blown disbeliever. It's not a skeptic. They're full-blown disbeliever.
Full-blown disbeliever. Everything that you say is stupid, no matter how much you can present evidence to me. It's completely fabricated, and you can't talk to people like that.
No.
You know, open-minded skeptics, even if you take a full-blown skeptic out on an investigation, you can change their mind. But if you're just going to sit in a room and try to have a conversation with somebody like that, you're wasting your breath. It's talking to a brick wall.
Yep, I agree.
Unless you take them a Dybbuk box.
And have them open it live on the air while you're a long distance away and you're talking via Skype.
Right. Yeah, I'll send it in the mail.
And recording. Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll, okay. Commercial?
Yeah, let's do a commercial and then we'll regroup.
We'll get back, we'll talk about the topic at hand for about 5 more minutes, and then we'll get off on another exit.
Well, maybe. That happens. I think now though, honestly, we're at a better ratio than 90-10. So that's all I gotta say. I think right now we're probably at a solid 80-20. So unless we blow it going into the second half, I think we're doing pretty good tonight.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Okay, well, it is 7:30 Central. You're listening to the Odyssey Files on Pair X. We'll be right back.
Oh. UFOs. Bigfoot. Cryptids.
Orbit is on the coin. You think if you listen to the words of Arabic,
your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Rat, where are you going?
I'm going back to the paranormal view, back where I belong.
Please take me with you.
No, I'm through with everything here. I want to see if there's something left in life I haven't explored. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Rhett, don't run to them. They talk about ghosts and hauntings, UFOs, and all kinds of supernatural scary stuff.
You'll never understand, will you, Scarlet?
No!
Well, that's your misfortune.
Rhett, if you go, where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear...
Line.
Oh, you've got to be kidding.
That's The Paranormal View with your host, Henry Foister, Jeffrey Gould, and Barbara Duncan. Every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, exclusively on the Para-X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Hi, this is Ty Gowan from the web series Haunt Me, and I suggest listening to the Odyssey Files because it's full of Dave's talent where Mike has none.
And we're back. Oh, Mr. Ty.
Did you play that?
I did. Told you, yeah. I was going to.
Yeah, you did.
I am a man of my word.
There you go.
So, the topic at hand, now that we're back, is... which we've spent, I think, maybe 10 minutes of the show so far discussing, is there too much, or are there too many people who want to be a part of the paranormal, and are they a part of the paranormal for entertainment purposes more so than anything else? No, I changed it to more so, because there are a lot of teams out there who... are like respectful, you know, and yep. And they don't go in to provoke and be douche canoes and whatnot, but they only do events.
Is this know, new, they, yep. new term Monday or what?
Douche canoe?
Yeah, that's a new term Monday one right there.
I've started that. Using that recently.
I can tell because I haven't heard that one before. So, interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, Tanner said he was going to steal that from me, so.
Okay.
It's catching on.
It is catching on. It's great in its own life.
So, they don't go in to do bad, but they don't go in to help anybody either, except themselves. You know, they love the spirit box. They use the spirit box all the time. And they only go to, it seems, no, obviously I'm not with them 24/7, so maybe I absolutely could be wrong. They don't help anybody. You know, they don't go into homes and try to help families. And then, you know, every once in a while, you know, they host an event or something like that.
Right.
You know, all they do are historic buildings, and all they do is host events to try to make money. And there seems to be more and more people that are getting into that, and that are trying to do these massive events over and over and over again to try and make money. And I understand wholeheartedly, probably more than most, how much money goes into this field.
Yeah,
and that costs. You know, it. Because anything that you put towards the paranormal doesn't go to anything else.
Right.
So, and then we have, I don't know exactly how to put it, because I personally have not even visited the website. All I do is see the tweets about it. I see the Facebook posts about it. And that's obviously Elizabeth Saint and Nick Groff's new, you know, Vidi space.
Yeah,
was just seems to be a way of, I'm gonna make a new word here. It's not a word, and I know this, so don't think that I'm being smart here.
Okay,
but they're entertaining. It sounds much better in my heart and in my head. But they're making the paranormal an entertainment field.
So I have not gone to the site. And I had thought about it. I meant to. I didn't. I don't know. It just escaped me, you know. But without going there, do you think that that's a legitimate observation from your standpoint? I mean, because you know, and we talk about this and stuff like that, and you know, that would be like somebody judging you know, ops and never going to the website and seeing the personal testimonials and seeing the evidence that's on there and seeing the you know, kind of the mission statement and stuff like that, and what is trying to be accomplished. And I'm not defending anything. I'm just throwing it out there. Like I said, I haven't been there either. So, you know, I wouldn't say that, honestly, from my standpoint, unless until after I go and, like, give it a legitimate look. Because, you know, there might be some good stuff on there.
Oh, I mean, okay. I'm gonna do two things here. Or say two things here. One, you are correct in the fact that I do not believe everything that they're putting out there is specifically for that. We, you know, like Ken Boggle's tarot date.
Yep.
That is, I mean, yeah, obviously he doesn't typically do his tarot readings in some extravagant location. But what he is doing is exactly what he does.
Right.
You know, it's not spoofed up. It's not Hollywoodized. I know that's not a word, but it should be.
But that's where the problem comes in, though. And we've talked about this many times, and many times off the air, too, is that there's too much Hollywood it being thrown into what is a legitimate science for a lot of people. Or at least a legitimate research and study for a lot of people. And and what happens is when you throw the Hollywood spin on it, you degrade the industry as a whole.
Maybe that's my issue.
I think it is your issue.
Well, it's one of many, I assure you.
Well, I assure you that. I know that too. But I'm just saying, I think from this staying on track here, though, I know that it's that, because I know we've talked about this at your house, my house, and not driving back and forth to locations and stuff. But it's the Hollywood spin that they put on everything. And all of a sudden, that's, to me, that's what turns it into an entertainment piece versus a research or education piece.
Right. And yeah, I think that might be my issue because it doesn't have to come from Hollywood to look like it came from Hollywood.
Correct.
I have seen regular people's YouTube videos where it's tons of graphics and, you know, swirling lights and or colors and, you know, extravagant graphics. And I remember I was talking with Josh about way, way back when I wanted to do, I wanted to put something together. It wasn't the Paranormal Project. This was way before I even came up with that concept. I'm like, well, I'm trying to, I told him I was trying to do something, and, but I didn't know how to put it together. I didn't know how to stream it correctly.
Yep.
And his advice to me was throw in some music. That always works, which was the complete opposite of what I wanted to do, because I did not want to throw in music. You know, I didn't want to throw in that, you know, but that comes behind all of these TV shows,
right,
in order to build up this suspense or this anxiety. I didn't want to do that. But the only piece of advice that he told me to do was add music to it. Well, I don't want to, because in an investigation, there's no music unless you're actually playing it through your phone or whatever in order to have it be part of the investigation. So I think that so many people are distracted by the graphics and the music that they don't realize that what they're seeing is crap. Sorry to say. My own opinion, my words. But I've seen some of these videos and they're very well put together and they're very professionally done. But there's no context to them. There's no substance to any of it. It's somebody walking around in the dark.
Right.
And it's
a smoke and mirror show.
Yes.
Is what it is.
It's a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Right. It's the proverbial smoke and mirror show. So what you've got is you've got all this really cool, eye-catching, eye-pleasing, appealing type of graphics and cutaways and fadeaways and intense moments where something should be there, but there's never anything there. But it keeps you moving forward, and it keeps the viewer looking for that next jump moment, I guess. You know, I won't say scare moment, but that next kind of like where you like jump a little bit and you're like, ooh, I thought I saw something in the staircase. No, you didn't see something in the staircase. It's just the way that they creatively cut that piece, you know.
I will use this example, and I won't say who showed it to me, because it was supposed to be like a preview/trailer of this show that these two ladies, I believe from Ohio, were trying to put together. And my buddy was ranting and raving about how awesome this preview was, and he was going to send it over to me, and he did, and I watched it. And he asked me how I liked it. I said it was great for a tourism video, because the whole preview, and it was, I don't know, like a minute and a half long or something like that. A good half of it was drone footage of their town.
Yeah.
And like pictures of like video footage of the outside of this building that they were supposed to investigate. And then words would flash on the screen about this murder here, this... No video whatsoever of any sort of investigation. No, there was nothing that dealt with anything that was supposed to be the substance of the show. It was all the outside of the building and drone footage and then flashing lights. And that was it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have absolutely no interest in seeing this thing, because I did not see if anything actually happened. They could have walked in there and sat in the dark for all I care. Not all I care, but all I know, and nothing happened ever. But because they made this great video to set this thing up, that was supposed to grab my attention, and it didn't. There was nothing of substance to it. It was a travel video for what I watched. He didn't like that very much.
Probably not.
He probably
worked his butt off putting it together, and then... It didn't come out maybe exactly like he wanted it to or something.
Well, he didn't. He didn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, okay.
He started talking to them. I think they were friends or something like that. So they sent it to him, and then he then sent it to me.
Okay.
But no, he didn't put it together. He had nothing to do with it. But he thought it was the cat's meow, that it was this great promo video. And I'm like, it's drone footage. It's nothing. And
drone footage could be cool.
I didn't say it wasn't cool. I said it was very well put together. The quality was wonderful, but as a paranormal preview, it was garbage. It was nothing. But I digress.
Well, here I got two things on that. And so actually that's a good segue. So number one, let's just take that show and move it forward. Okay. So really flashy intro, spectacular graphics, whatever. And really creatively, I haven't seen it, but I'm just kind of trying to visualize it, you know, really kind of catchy, kind of catches you, you know, your attention, whatever. You watch it for the majority of the people, you watch what, the first two, maybe you watch the first 5 minutes of the third episode. And it's all it is the intro, and there's no context. That show's gone. Okay. That it doesn't exist anymore. You follow what I'm saying there? Like it,
yes,
right. Like no, there's not going to be any viewership for something like that. Okay, so they're gonna get sucked in because of that flashy, you know, minute and a half, 2 minutes or whatever to begin with. But when they actually get into the context of what they're looking for and why they're spending a half hour, 42 minutes, an hour, whatever it is, of their time out of their lives, and I'm talking about the general public here, they're not going to keep coming back because they're not getting satisfied. They're not getting what they want. Okay, so that's one thing I wanted to say about that. So that leads me into this, where I think that even though what we're talking about, and it is important, because we look at things differently than a lot of other teams do, or I don't know if I should say a lot of teams, but a lot of other people do. I will say that. I think that to some extent, really well done shows are an evil necessity for our kind of line of work here, because they bring in new audiences. They bring in new audience members. And a percentage of those people obviously are going to come in and then they're going to go away because they're just going to be repetitious for them and they're not going to be entertained anymore or they're not going to be interested anymore or whatever. And so they're going to come in, they're going to look and they're going to leave. And then you're going to have a probably larger percentage that's going to come in and stay, and that's going to become like the fan base for a particular individual or show. Then the third percentage of those people, which is going to be smaller, is going to be people who get brought in to see that show and find something that causes them to want to move forward on their own. And that's the benefit from those shows, is that percentage of people.
Yeah.
Okay. I know you hated that because it totally blew what you said, but it's the truth. And I'm not saying it's a large percentage. I think the large percentage is the fan base, obviously. And I think a small percentage is going to come and go. But I do think that there's also that other percentage, you know, whether it be, I don't want to throw a number on it, but, you know, it's not huge, but it brings them into the fold and it brings them into the mix. And maybe by watching a couple of episodes of some show, as Hollywood as that show wants to be, let's just say, maybe they see something in there and they go, you know, I knew I wasn't crazy when I, you know, used to have all those things happen to me when I was a kid and everybody would just say, go back to bed, you're just having a bad dream or whatever. And then those people pick up the torch and move forward with it. And you got to have that. You've got to have fresh minds coming into the field, because without fresh minds and fresh talent and fresh ideas, the research in this field is never going to go anywhere. You can't have the same 10 people, and it's more than that, so don't jump down our throats. But you can't have the same 10 people constantly recycling equipment that's already out there, trying to perfect the stuff that's already out there to make it better. What you need is you need somebody who hasn't got any idea how to do anything and sit down one day and all of a sudden create something brand spanking new.
So here's my question to you.
Yeah.
And I fully agree with you that obviously this field constantly needs to be the revolving door.
Yep.
You know, we need fresh minds. We need fresh people. We need fresh investigators.
Yep.
They bring in different energy into the different ideas and everything. So with that said, what is the type of mentality that they are going to have if they come in now and we continue along the path that we're on? Are they going to want to invent the digital Polaroid camera? Are they going to want to invent, maybe a take on the SLS cam and maybe take EMF and try to map it out in front of you instead of like the Kinect cam? Are they going to want to invent stuff like that, or are they going to want another spirit box? You know, are they going to want another Ovilus? You know, are they going to want to make devices built for entertainment more than scientific research?
I'm going to say that I'm hopeful that they're going to come up with something brand spanking new. That somebody's going to come up with something brand spanking new that's going to set the world on its ear, just like the Spirit Box did back in the day, just like the Ovilus did back in the day, just like the SLS did when it came out. you know, just like the GeoPort and the GeoPhone did. And I know those are upgrades and different ideas of the Spirit Box, but they're a totally different type of technology. Maybe it'll take somebody comes in there. I mean, I love the idea. I love what you just threw out there. The digital Polaroid camera. Full spectrum digital Polaroid camera. Why isn't somebody creating that? Shit, I don't buy equipment. I would buy that. All right? I've got probably one of the best Polaroid shots ever caught of an entity on a Polaroid photo. If somebody could build something that would give you the ability to capture an image like that, but not have to spend $30 for 10 pictures where you're just shooting aimlessly, hoping for that one moment, you know, you're going to spend like $1,000 just to catch something that you're going to have to, you know, kind of like it's a 50-50 coin toss, you know, that no, it can't be like that. It has to be something where you can cycle through and say, okay, you know, yeah, no, there's nothing in these first 40 shots, but geez, look at these next three in a row, you know? I mean, and that's the thing that gets me excited. My gut tells me that that's coming, and I hope it's in my lifetime because I really would like to see that, and I'd like to use it. I'd like to use that technology. I mean, I'd like the opportunity to capture just an absolutely amazing series of images of an entity that is just undeniable, you know? Not for fame. Yeah, not for fame or not to run around for any reason. I don't even know, you know, who I'd share it with. I just would like to do it. I just like to see it. It would legitimize everything I've done over my lifetime.
You know what I would like to see now that I've gotten in my head that we're talking about equipment. You know, they have, I know the military has it. You can buy them yourself. I don't know how much they cost, but you know, they have the IR goggles.
Yeah.
You know, yep. I would like to see full spectrum IR goggles.
Well, that would be great. I'd never take them off.
Well, you probably would take them off
eventually. Well, during the daylight, yeah. And if the lights were on in the building, I would, because otherwise you burn your retinas out like looking at the sun. But
yeah.
But those would be cool.
And you can't tell me that you can't create that.
No, sure you can. Yeah, absolutely you can. It's just a matter of putting different lenses and different filters in it. You know, I mean, from what I've seen, when you look at like a 35mm still camera that they manipulate to be able to look into a full spectrum type of thing or UV or stuff like that, they're either taking and removing filters out of that camera or a combination of adding another filter. And then you get the light source, and the light source enables that spectrum to be lit up. And with the filters being removed and or the addition of a filter into the camera, it allows that camera to see into that spectrum. So there's no way that a pair of night vision goggles couldn't be manipulated to see the same thing.
Agree, but
yeah, but they're not there, right?
That's not the market,
right? That's the frustrating point, you know, is that it's like you said, and I agree 100%. It's all going towards voice, right now.
Okay, all right, so. Since we only have about 7 minutes left, this is the perfect time to bring up this topic. So, maybe
new topic.
No, it's not a new topic. Okay. But it's a different take on our original topic.
Okay.
So maybe instead of the paranormal field moving more towards the entertainment, an entertainment type purpose. Is it becoming too commercialized? Because everything seems to be about money. Everything seems to be about markets.
Yeah. Well, that's Hollywood's influence, definitely. Yeah, 100%. That's Hollywood's influence. Because the only time when you're doing paranormal investigations, when you're at somebody's house, when they're telling you what's happening and the tears are streaming down their face and they're legitimately scared for their well-being and for their family's well-being, the thought of money is never, ever pops up, ever.
Well, that's for us.
It's, No, right. I'm just saying, though, it should be like that for anybody. Right?
I agree, but it's not.
Well, right. I agree with that, too, regretfully. But then when you step out of that and you get that Hollywood kind of influence slash cancerous growth, and then people realize that they can make a little bit of money, that sets the catalyst in motion. That's the little ball that starts rolling down the hill that turns into the avalanche, you know, and starts wiping out villages, because that's what's happening. It just becomes more money and more money. And so-and-so got this kind of package deal. Well, I think I'm better at what I do than what he does, so I deserve this much money. And then it just keeps going. And it's the same. You see it happen in sports. You know, there was a time in our society when sports was just about sports. You know, it was about going out and playing the game. Yeah, they made some money, but it wasn't a college football quarterback who's unproven, who hasn't thrown one pass in the NFL, getting an $18 million signing bonus, right? It was just about people who wanted to play the sport and went and played the sport. And then television networks got involved and agents got involved, and you know, now it's this mediocrity of who cares, you know. I saw a really interesting article that college basketball talent, and now I'm trying to go off tangent here, but that college basketball talent, the people that they interviewed said, it's not even about going to support a school anymore. It's just a stepping stone to get into the NBA. It has nothing to do with the college, with the school spirit anymore. Nothing to do with the university anymore at all. It's just a stepping stone. And is that school got a better chance and a higher stepping stone for me to get quicker into the NBA than this other school? And that is a horrible way to look at that. A horrible way. They should want to go play for that school because of that school's history. For school pride. But I don't think that exists anymore.
Or maybe for an education.
Well, that goes hand in hand, but that, I think that was destroyed a long time ago. I see a lot of student athletes, in air quotes, slide right through that system. You know.
Yep, because they win, and
right.
That's it.
That's all that matters.
They bring the school more money,
right?
So they,
right.
They get off with not being as accountable.
Exactly.
So, I mean, do you see that happening in the paranormal? Do you think that everybody? I don't want to say everybody, because that's completely wrong. There are many, many teams that I know of that their sole purpose is to help people, you know. And
absolutely.
And I'm not against events. I'm not a huge fan of. I'm not a fan at all of people who will only do them. But. I do like one or two a year.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. I treat every one of them the same as an investigation. There's just a lot more investigators present.
Right.
You know, and I like money too. I really do. In fact, my grandma, almost every time that I see her and she asks me about how my paranormal stuff is doing, and I tell her, and she continually asks me, well, if you do this, why can't they pay you? I'm like, because I'm not charging them for help.
Right.
And I constantly have to explain why I'm not going to charge her, because they should at least pay for your gas. They don't need to pay for my gas.
Right.
Well, can they give you any? Well, yeah, I'll take a donation, but I don't ever ask for it.
Right.
You know, it's it just seems that I'm hoping, with the last minute that we have here, in summary, that the search for to make more money, the search for more popularity within this field does not wash out what I believe is the basic principle of why it exists, which is to draw the line between the other side and us, and to be that line of defense between people who don't want anything to do with it but are thrust in onto the front line. You know, whether their own accord, whether they walked into it on accident, it doesn't matter. Helping people and advancing the field should be the number one priority, and it's my worry that is over years, the next couple years, it's going to get washed out.
Well, we are going to make a stand and make sure that doesn't happen.
I hope so. So
we're going to start hashtagging the heck out of Twitter.
No, we won't.
Yeah. Don't let paranormal get washed out. Hashtag.
That's a long
hashtag. That's a long one. That's a long hashtag.
Will not catch on in any way, shape, or form.
We'll think of something creative. So I only had 18 seconds. I need more time than that.
That's going to do it for us for tonight. There is no live show after us. That's why I'm perfectly comfortable going over, which we have. Join us next week. We'll have another wonderful topic, and have yourselves a good week.
Absolutely. Have a fantastic week. And I hope that if anything we said makes sense to you, try to take a step back and focus on the things that are really important in this field and not the Hollywood side of it, the legitimate human being side of it and the people that need help.
Perfect. All right, everybody, have a good night.
Night.
Hello, everyone. This is Ken Bogle. You hear so many great moments during each and every episode of The Odyssey Files with Dave and Mike. But if I had to really choose my favorite moment, it would have to be when the show was over.